This is Tony Stevens. The date is April 21st, 2006. It's been 11 years since we finished Book of Mormon Radio. The Lord has asked me to take Book of Mormon Radio and make a CD out of it. I've went ahead and did that, and I've included this as a little introduction to that. Maybe tell you what's happened over the last 11 years, kind of what's happened in the world, how everything's going. Let me begin by saying it was quite difficult for me to do this for the Lord. It was one of those things, again, where the Spirit tells you to do something and you wonder, why are you telling me to do that? No one listened in the first place. At the end of Book of Mormon Radio, I said, I've got cassettes of all of Book of Mormon Radio, and I have cassettes of all the commentary they did for the entire Book of Mormon. If anybody wants it, then I'll make them a copy. No one wanted a copy. So therefore, I let it go. So it makes you wonder what the Lord has in mind for this CD. My son Eric, who was 17 years old, is now 29. He had just turned 18 when we finished Book of Mormon Radio. If you recall, it was interesting to see a 17-year-old do Book of Mormon Radio. Anyway, Eric is going to have a website. And on the website, we'll make the Book of Mormon Radio available to anyone who wants it. See if there are a few out there that want to hear it. Of course, the Lord has said that there's few that really want to hear His Word. And of course, His Word is following Him and learning how to discern the Spirit. The Book of Mormon was written to the Mormon Church. It was written to the people who were going to receive it or claim to receive it. We have to really focus on that idea, because it's so easy for Mormons to say, no, that's written someone else, because we're not that, because all the Book of Mormon is always condemning the people. Well, it is. It's condemning the people that were given the Book of Mormon for not using it. The Book of Mormon Radio went through explaining clearly how we come unto the Lord. Coming unto the Lord means following the Spirit and believing that through personal revelation that you can grow. That is one of the principles of the Mormon Church that other churches don't believe in. In fact, mostly in the Christian world, the idea of following the Spirit is considered evil. It's believed that by following the Spirit, that then you're going to be led down the wrong path, and it's always Satan talking to you. And there is some truth to that. To learn to discern the Spirit, one of the hardest things is trying to figure out when Satan's distorting what the Spirit is trying to tell you. One of the number one ways he'll distort that is he'll juice things up. You like receiving the Spirit, you feel like you're receiving revelation. It really is a really high feeling, and so Satan makes that even a higher feeling until you begin to imagine more wonderful and great things. For instance, when Nephi said that he had received the Spirit and that he had been blessed and was special, that was a good indication of how you feel. You think, I'm really special because no one else is receiving the Spirit. Well, the truth is it's available to everyone. No one's special. The Lord will come to anyone who wants it. Just because you decided to receive it doesn't make you any better than any other man. But, of course, in our pride and in our egos and in our inability to put off the spirit of Satan, we start believing that there's something special. And so many of the friends that I had 11 years ago went off and developed their own churches that just ended up hurting a lot of people. The main one, the problem they had, for instance, was they went back into polygamy, and that pretty soon just became more or less wife swapping and destroyed so many families. These are the kind of things that happen. People start thinking that they are Jesus Christ. That's one of the more interesting things you feel from the Spirit, because you become so close to Jesus Christ, you start thinking that you are Him. And that's not literal. I know of one guy that did literally believe it, and then he went out and committed suicide. But I mean, it's just a strong feeling that the Lord must have a great mission for you, because He has given you His Spirit. The Lord is only concerned with your growth. He's not concerned with you being some big shot. You'll never be a big shot. Jesus Christ led the way, and He was not a big shot in His day. He was just this man that walked around and everybody laughed at him. Who was that stupid carpenter? God Himself is not a big shot. Christ said in His day, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. They don't care to rule over people and sit on a topless throne. They just want to grow in their love for other beings, meaning us, and spread as much happiness and joy as can be done throughout the universe forever. And that is all heaven is. And it's a very wonderful feeling. It's hard for people to meditate and focus on that concept. It doesn't matter what your trials are on this earth. No matter how bad things are going for you, if you woke up one day and you felt really, really good and you just felt happy, what more could you want? That happy feeling is what you're really seeking, whether you take drugs or whether you go buy a new car to make you feel neat. All of those things that you do like that are done because you're really seeking out that happy feeling or that joy that you have. And the main number one time when you have that joy is when you're meditating on Jesus Christ and the love that He has for you and recognizing that He thinks you're special and He's going to take care of you. If you focused on those times, you know that that is all heaven is and that that is all that you want. All these other things are just a diversion from going to that simple joy. During the last 11 years, I had to go get beat up. I really wonder about that a lot, what the world would think about if the world was judging Jesus Christ. I'm sure that social services would have him in prison for torturing all his children, because this life is extreme. And it's an extreme period for us to learn to be humble and learn to follow the Lord and get away from our pride and our ego. It is very difficult. During that 10 years, I lost my job with Adventist and took a year off. That was an interesting time to just live with the Lord for a year. After a year, a friend of mine called and said that IBM had a job back in Vermont. Would I want to go take it? And I did and went to Vermont for 5 years. That was a really great experience. Mostly, I was there to get beat up. The IRS did their number on me. And the local people, obviously, due to the promptings of Satan, decided this was a good time to take me down, if you want to say that. And I was taken down to a degree that it was extremely painful. I thought everything was just perfect in my family, and I thought everything was just going so well, and I've spent my whole life doing so well, trying to grow with the Lord and all. I didn't think there was any way that I could really get in too much trouble, but in Vermont, they have accuserless crimes, and basically it has to do with whether or not you have abused your family. And if your neighbor says that you are abusing your family, then the state becomes the accuser, even though no one in your family is saying that they have been abused. My one neighbor, who we tended her son, and she had a free rein to come into our house, meaning she just didn't have to knock because her child was always there. She could just walk in, and she had become close to being like a member of the family. She told the police that I was indeed this horrible abuser. And they, based on this information, they wanted to put me in prison for 3 years. And of course, I had to plea bargain down to what was called a suspended sentence. Then their social services were allowed to then just beat on me for 6 months. It was one of the most horrid things you've ever seen on what they require you to do. Of course, you know, during the plea bargain, you had no idea what they had in mind for you. And basically, the entire thing was, men are horrible, and they go through a thing of trying to show you just how horrible men are. This whole program in the state of Vermont only lasted for about a year to a year and a half, and then there was a unbelievable rebellion of all the men in the state against it, because all they had to do was be turned in by anyone, and they were put into this program. And shortly after I'd finished this program, then the thing was ended. But it was a good experience to find out how much militant feminists hate men and what they will do to them if they were given the opportunity. And they were given that opportunity in Vermont. It took probably 6 to 7 years after that till I could even finally mentally recover. And you wonder why the Lord does that to you. Meaning, how extreme can you get, Lord? I mean, talk about, again, having some government official thinking that Jesus Christ tortures his children. Well, it seems like that, but the truth is this life is extreme. I will bear you my strongest testimony again that the only way I made it through, though, was having the Lord, because it seemed like this world was going to do anything it could to hurt me. And all the time, all I could do was focus on the Spirit of the Lord and in His support, and knowing that that's what got me through that. And in the end, it was good. I needed that adjustment. They say the Lord goes to extremes in review and seeing what I was before and now. I have progressed and I've got closer to the Lord. I've got a tremendous understanding of Satan. For my entire life, I've constantly had horrible dreams and nightmares where Satan really gets in your head and, I mean, just scares you to completely death. Well, he actually takes control of your body and you have a hard time fighting him off. I don't have that anymore because the easiest thing to do is if that sort of thing comes on to me, I just go, come on, Satan, get out of here and quit lying to me. And which is the number one thing that goes on in your life is trying to figure out that Satan is lying to you. From the beginning of your life, as we said at the beginning of Book of Mormon Radio, this is not your real life. This is a time that we're being subjected to Satan, and all he does is lie to you. He lies to you right off the bat again, saying, this is your real life, making you think this physical world is what your real life is. And then he goes on, again, doing power, gain, and glory, pumping up your pride, telling you that having a new car is really the greatest thing to have, and so on and so on. Everything in your life is mostly a lie, to the degree of it being brainwashing. You're brainwashed into believing this is your real life. It's hard for us to get away from that. Also, like to say a few things about what's happened the last 10 years in the world. People say, oh, all you doomsdayers of the 80s and early 90s, you all thought the world was going to end in 1995. And it was fun listening to people talk that way. But 1995 came, that was when we finished Book of Mormon Radio, and many would say nothing has happened. Well, I think you need to sit back and review what's gone on in the world. The price of education for our children, K through 12, has increased and increased and increased. It's now in the state of Idaho, $7,000 a student per year. That's more than it is to go to 90% of the universities and colleges. It's way above 90% of the private K through 12 schools. Only and it's equal to the best of the private schools that rich people send their children to. And yet, has our education had any good effect on the children? No. They've had to go into the SATs. I don't know if you knew that. And those that don't know, the SATs is what you take to get into college. They have dropped so bad that they've artificially went in there and added 100 points to the SATs and called it an adjustment just to hide the fact of how bad the education is. But that's one thing. I'm not going to go on a speech about all those. I'm just telling you some of the things that show that things have continued to get worse and worse. We've all watched how homosexuals have taken over everything. If you even said that you disagreed with homosexuality at work or thought it was a sin or anything like that, you'd lose your job. And this is a strong development of how far down we've gone in the sense of getting to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Our pension plans have decreased and decreased. In industry, big companies like General Motors and IBM used to have a retirement at 30 years that you got half your pay for the rest of your life. Both of those companies have stopped their pension plans. In fact, there's very few companies that you can find that even have pension plans anymore. Only the government does. Everything else has went to 401ks. The returns on your 401ks are so low that it's hard to retire, even though if you have a good one saved up. I will also mention those that are receiving pensions from these big companies are slowly watching them deteriorate. For instance, Xerox cut their pension in half. And just said, there is nothing we can do about it. We don't have the money in our pension plan to pay you the 50%, so you're only going to get 25%. You'd think somebody needs to be put in prison for that, but our government and everyone just goes along with it and says, that's fine, there's nothing we can do about that. Of course, it means that all these executives in these companies and administrators of pension plans have stolen all the money, but there's nothing that we can do about it. War in the Middle East, we've been prophesied in the last days that the hot spot would be the Middle East, and we'd get all entangled in that one. That would be the beginning of the wars that would end up escalating into whatever they called Armageddon. Encouraging you that if you stay with the Lord, that it won't be that bad for you. It's going to be horrible watching it, but the Lord will protect you and take care of you at all times. Or he just might let you be shot and die and miss it that way. But as long as you're taken unto him, what difference would that make? I would then wanted to say a few things about what's went on in the Mormon Church, because I guess the Book of Mormon was for the Mormons, or would say that they are the Gentile Church. That's what they are, as it's said in the Book of Mormon, and the things that have went on there. I'd like to read one scripture, my favorite one that'll define that, and that's 2 Nephi 26 and 20. It says, "And the Gentiles," that means the Mormon Church, "are lifted up in the pride of their eyes and have stumbled because of the greatness of their stumbling block, that they have built up many churches. Nevertheless, they put down the power and miracles of God and preach unto themselves their own wisdom and their own learning, that they may get gain and grind upon the face of the poor." They build up this big church with their many temples, and it's all so beautiful and it's all so neat. They go to the temples and feel like as if they're exalted, and indeed their leaders tell them, as long as you go to that temple and have a temple recommend, you are indeed exalted. What is that? That's their own wisdom and their own learning, because that none of that is in the Book of Mormon. In fact, the Book of Mormon is telling you that building up the this big old giant church and having all these churches, meaning all these wards and stakes, that you, this is going to be a stumbling block, because you're going to say, we're the greatest church in the world. There's no way that we could be doing wrong. They can get gain by grinding upon the face of the poor. Meaning we don't see the Mormon leadership talking about an inheritance, doing away with property tax so that even the poor can get a piece of land, and not doing anything with all the vast amounts of land we have, that there aren't places where we could just give every person 5 acres and tell them that they could build any house they want and get the government off their back. We don't see any of this. We grind it down so that if you don't make a lot of money in this world, you're not going to be able to get ahead, and you're going to have to live a poor life, and there is no one coming to the aid of the poor, pointing out that we are in the last days. And if you look around, you'll see that the end times are upon us. How long it's going to last is fearful. We used to always think that we added up all the time given in the Book of Revelation that it'll only be 3.5 years. I suppose one could think, well, the 3.5 years is how long Armageddon is going to go. But in truth, the Lord has never, ever put times on things. In fact, that's why in Revelation it says stuff like it'll only be a half an hour. It's because God doesn't work things in time. So I have no idea of when, how long we could go on. If you look at, again, to the Book of Ether, it could just get worse and worse and worse for another 100 years. I doubt it, because we're in dire straits right now, but still, what does that mean to me? I think there's people that 5 years ago could show how bad the economy was. How about, let's try 3 years ago when the stock market was just hurting so bad. Everybody thought that was the end. And my company didn't look like it was going to do well. It would look like things were really bad. Engineers couldn't get jobs. It was the first time in history when engineers couldn't get jobs. It looked pretty bleak. It's gotten a little better as far as jobs go, but if I was talking again about being an engineer, engineers now have to take jobs as technicians, and they're considered technicians. Advanced degrees in engineering is not respected at all anymore, meaning that research and development is at an all-time low. All of the companies, whether it be Intel or IBM, the two big technology companies, they're not interested in advancing anything. They just want to live off of what they already have, and so research and development is way down, and then that is, of course, the sign of a deteriorating technology. So that's some of the things that have went on. I did want to point out that why did the Book of Mormon come to the Mormons, and why are they a special people? Nonetheless, the Mormons have had two great principles that the rest of the world don't accept, and that was, again, personal revelation or following the Spirit. They need to encourage that. It went down in the Mormon church. They don't press this as hard as they did, especially when I was a child. I kind of went to church and was inactive for 10 years after high school. I didn't want anything to do with it, but nonetheless, it was well ingrained in my head that if you wanted to be an active member, the number one thing you were supposed to do was start following that Spirit. And the other thing, of course, was eternal progression, believing that we progress eternally. But those were two great principles, and you can see that they have been lost. I mean, it is being preached with greater force that once you get your temple recommend, you're now exalted. You've attained that level. In fact, I stood up against our stake presidency, and that's why the Mormons wanted to run me out of the church, was when I raised my hand and said I would not sustain the our stake presidency because they had got up the night before and preached that very principle that once you get your temple recommend, you have fulfilled all of your requirements to receive exaltation. And that was false doctrine. And I raised my hand, and that caused no small stir, and they brought me in, and it appeared that we'd talked that out. I would say within 3 to 6 months, I was called in for leading other members astray. Then I says, fine, what are you going to do with me? We'll have a bishop's court and see about excommunicate me. And they held that and called in all the people that I'd talked to, and they could not find anybody that was willing to testify against me. And so they took my temple recommend and then continued to persecute me until I had no choice but had to leave the Mormon Church. It became so important to continue to preach this idea that once you had your temple recommend, all is done. All is never done no matter what you do. There's a continual internal progression to the point that I know that Jesus Christ and God the Father continue to grow. They grow in their love and their capacity to receive and give love. And it's a growing in the better and better feelings, and that will go on for all time. I would like to then say a few things about how far has the Mormon Church went down in the last 10 years, not just talking about the lack of personal revelation and losing the goal of eternal progression. Let's look at temple marriage. Did you know that temple marriage has a higher divorce rate than the national average? Teenage pregnancy and abortion is higher among the Mormons than the national average. They were always the best group in the United States in these kind of things. Did you know that they are the most financially irresponsible people on earth? This is brought out by the BYU Economics Department. It's shown that bankruptcy amongst Mormon is higher than any other group. So we can see things are getting worse inside of the Mormon Church. It's everywhere. Don't think that they are the only special ones that are growing in their wickedness. It's everyone. It's all groups have theirs. I was just pointing that out because, again, the Book of Mormon was written for the Mormon Church, and these are the people that were trying to wake up to listen to this. Those who have listened to this and think that sounds anti-Mormon, again, I think that the Mormon people have been a strong people, and there is many who follow the Spirit. I've only ever met one other Spirit follower that was not a member of the Mormon Church. I've met a lot of other special people that talk about the Lord. All of them say you can't be a Spirit follower because that's evil. But I've met plenty of Mormons who are Spirit followers, and we're able to discuss that. So I know that that the Book of Mormon and the concepts that I'm bringing forth here are meant to go to the Mormon people.
It is necessary in this 2006 introduction to include a small discussion of the concept that Book of Mormon Radio was anti-Mormon. This was a common accusation. This would be equivalent to saying that the Book of Mormon is anti-Mormon, or the Bible is anti-Christian. The very point of Scripture is to call the people to repentance. Scripture does not compliment or flatter men. That is what Satan does. Scripture is to explain to man how to progress and remove the filth that is blocking his perfection. A spiritual explanation of the Book of Mormon will always cause most people to become angered, as expressed many times in the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon is written to Mormons. Thus, most will get angry when they hear the spiritual discussion of the Book of Mormon as presented on Book of Mormon Radio. The fact that you are listening to this CD means that you care. The words here are to help you. They are not here to encourage any hate against Mormons. Please enjoy Book of Mormon Radio for the positive help it will give you on your path that Jesus Christ has prepared for you.
This is all I have for an introduction. I hope you enjoy Book of Mormon Radio, and I hope it does you some good. I do not want you to think that I am doing this to try and hurt any Mormon, hurt anyone's faith. Everything I say is only for the purpose of helping you come closer to Jesus Christ. God bless you.